So let's get into tonight's subject and just get right into it so that we can bring glory and praise to God. I do want to mention, I got a text today about a young boy. We're going to pray for a friend, his name's Grayson, and I want you to pray for Grayson maybe tonight, a young boy being taken to Atlanta. Transported to, found spots on his liver, and he's in liver failure. So let's pray for him, and let's pray to God right now. Most gracious Lord, we thank you for your love and your mercy. I thank you for each person here. I thank you for the love that you have for us and for the love of the gospel and for the love that we see in Revelation, that no matter how rough life gets, we have a king amidst the crisis. And no matter what, Jesus is the one amidst the lampstands. He's the one amidst the church holding us up. I pray and ask that you would just be with us tonight. I pray for Grayson in a special way, that you would just put your healing hand upon him and just touch his life, touch his liver, Lord. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that you would just work a miracle in his life. And I know my brothers and sisters here today are praying for him right now. We know there is power in prayer. And so, Lord, we're lifting him up to you, asking for a miracle to be done. And we are going to give you all the glory and praise. So be with us tonight. May you be lifted up and glorified in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. The woman, the child, and the dragon. Revelation 12:17 says, "Then the dragon became furious with the woman and went off to make war on the rest of her offspring, on those who keep the commandments and they hold to the testimony of Jesus. And he stood on the sea and on the sand." And so ever since the first Christians watched Jesus ascend into heaven to the right hand of the Father, our mission has been the same. Our mission is to go into how much of the world and proclaim the gospel to how much creation? The whole creation. The central message of the three angels that we looked at is the gospel. I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation, kindred, tribe, language, people. And so here we see the centrality of the importance of the gospel in Revelation. The word gospel means good tidings or good news. That's what it means, and that's what the announcement is. The announcement of the good news. The gospel is not only that Jesus is coming, that's good news, amen? Yes. But when we read about the gospel in the New Testament and in the Bible in Revelation, the announcement is not, that is a part of the good news, but the announcement was good news means something has happened. And so when they were going around and saying and telling the good news in the book of Acts, they're telling about what had happened, what had happened. Jesus has come, Jesus lived, and Jesus died, but he rose 3 days. The Messiah is here, the King has come, and that was the central message of the gospel. And so the gospel is an announcement that God's kingdom is accessible now through Christ and will ultimately be fulfilled when Jesus comes again. So we don't wait to live for the gospel and for the kingdom of God when Jesus comes. You start living for the gospel right now. So when people see us, they see the kingdom of God. All right? So that's what we're called to be as Christians. We are called to be beacons of light in a world filled with darkness. Christians are to be filled with good news in a world that's surrounded by bad news. That in spite of the crisis, Christians still have a king. Amen? I don't care who's in the White House. I know who sits on the throne of the universe. And so I don't need to get all bent out of shape. I know that God is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The best advice the world will give you in overcoming the darkness in your life is look away and hum loudly and hope that it goes away. But friends, Christ has given us real answers to the darkness in our life. Only in the gospel do we have real answers. I love this. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. That is the gospel message. Nothing will overtake his light. The darkness cannot. It tried, but it cannot take God's light away. And so in Revelation 12:1, it says, a great sign appeared in heaven. A woman was clothed with the sun and with the moon under her feet, and her head is a crown of 12 stars. So check it out. She is clothed with the sun, okay, and the moon is under her feet, and she's got a crown of stars. And we know stars are suns, right? Out there in the cosmos, very far away. And of course, our sun is our closest star. So check it out. This woman, she is glowing. She has got light coming out of her. She's wrapped up in the sun. She's standing on the moon. And she's got a crown of stars. She is glowing. And the reason she's glowing is because she is the church. And the church is called to glow the light of Christ. We looked at it in the first message. The lampstands. You see, we are called to be a light in the world. When you read in the first book, when you read in John's book, in the first chapter, it says that John was a lamp that pointed, but he was a lamp, but he wasn't the light. The light is Jesus Christ. John was a lamp that exhibited the light and prepared the way for Jesus. And really, that's what we're all called to be. We're all called to be lamps filled with the light of Christ. And so I love this. She's glowing the light of God. She's got a crown of 12 stars. The number 12, especially in Revelation, is a kingdom number. It is a number that represents the church. So we have the church of the Old Testament, which was the 12 tribes of Israel. And then we have the church of the New Testament, which is the 12 disciples. And we're not going to take time to go into it, but when you look at Revelation, you see 24 elders, okay, which many believe the 24 elders represent redeemed humanity. They represent redeemed people from the church of God. Some people think and believe that maybe those were the people that the Bible says were resurrected with Christ when he was resurrected, that he took to heaven with him. There's a lot of different theories on it. I believe the 24 elders are representations, real people, but they represent redeemed earth. Again, 24 representing 12 tribes, 12 disciples make 24. You see it all over the place. You see it in the dimensions of the city of God. You see this number 12 everywhere. It represents the fullness of God's church. That basically Revelation tells us that the militant church that fights with the enemy one day soon will become the triumphant church and be able to return with Christ in the clouds of glory. So she has 12 stars, and the 12 is that kingdom number. Notice what it says in Deuteronomy 26. The Lord has declared that today you are a people of his treasured possession, and he has promised you that you are to keep how many of his commandments? Okay, why does he want you to keep his commandments? All right, right here, next verse. And then, if you do that, he will set you in praise and in fame and in honor, high above all nations that he has made, not that you're more important than them, that you shall be a people holy to the Lord your God as he promised. So the reason why God wants a people keeping his law is so that he can elevate you and let you shine that love and that light to people in the world. That's what it's saying in Deuteronomy. God has always wanted a people that will be able to do that. 1 Peter 2:5, it says, "You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus." And so basically, friends, God has always desired a people that he can point other people to, who point them back to Jesus by the way they live their lives. Did you catch that? God has always wanted a people he can point other people to, and they point people back to God in the way that they live their lives. In their love, in their obedience, in their health, in their happiness, in their joy, in their peace. God wants some people who will start glowing like this woman in Revelation. Amen, Pastor Richie. Amen. Hallelujah. Mercy. Come on now, we've gotten out of practice. Romans 12:1. It says, Paul says, "I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living what? Holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." But you do know what the problem is with a living sacrifice. It keeps crawling off the altar. You know, that's our problem. The living sacrifice, that's the problem. You know, we sacrifice one day and we want to take our life back the next day. But man, I need to crawl up on this altar and die there and stay dead. Amen? So that I can come alive in Christ Jesus. I can come alive in Christ and shine his light. And so I'm setting you up for what the church is. The church is this pregnant woman in Revelation. She's been the subject of much of this series. It says that she's pregnant and was crying out in birth pains in the agony of giving birth. Check it out. The church is glowing because the church is pregnant. Have you ever heard that a pregnant woman kind of glows? Yeah. Yeah, my wife, man, whenever she had was pregnant with our four kids, man, and she just kind of had that glow. The church is glowing because it's pregnant, and the church is about to deliver Christ to the world. And so this is what's happening in Revelation. And then it says, another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon. So we've seen the church. We've seen the apple of God's eye. And we're seeing the great controversy here. So the woman, and then we see the controversy. Another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon with 7 heads, 10 horns, and on his head 7 diadems. His tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven and cast them down to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she bore her child, he might what? Devour it. So I want you to get this. The church is pregnant. The church is about to deliver Christ to the world. And the devil is now, its goal is that he wants to destroy the church before Christ can be born. So the devil's tactic is simple. If he can destroy you, then you won't deliver Christ to the world. That's his goal. That's his goal. That's the devil's number one goal. If he can destroy you, you won't deliver Christ to the world. He's waiting for Jesus when he's born. And unless an angel came and warned Mary and Joseph of what they were doing, they escaped to Egypt. There is a place in the wilderness that God had prepared. All right, so we're connecting back to Revelation. All right, but we'll get into that in a minute. But we see how God provided a way, because the dragon was there waiting to destroy Christ before he was born. But you need to understand this. This doesn't just apply to the Christmas story. This applies to your life. The dragon is standing before you tonight, waiting to devour you, to destroy you. Just as God said it in the beginning, Genesis 3:15, I'm declaring war between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He's going to wound your head and you'll wound his heel. But by the time you get down to the, and that's what's crazy, is by the time you get down to the end of chapter 12, something has changed. So the beginning of chapter 12, we see this woman arrayed in light. And then when we go along, we see the dragon. And then we get to the end of chapter 12, something's happened. And the dragon stops focusing on the woman. And which is the Christian church in general, and he goes after the woman's children. All right, let's look at this. Watch this. The dragon became furious with the woman and went off to make war on the rest of her offspring. So here, he's furious with the woman, but then he changes his direction and he goes after her offspring, on those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. Friends, do you want to know why the devil especially hates people who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus? It is because when we follow this book and we keep these teachings in a love relationship with him, the devil knows he can't touch us. He knows his ploys are going to be foiled. He knows that we'll know how to live, that we'll know how to love. He knows that he can't hurt us. And that's why he starts focusing his attacks on those who hold to their testimony of Jesus and they keep the commandments of God, because they're the ones who will deliver Christ to the world, the gospel. Okay, so Deuteronomy 30, 15 through 19. Notice what it says. See, I have set you before life and good, death and evil. Notice, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and statutes. All right, so when Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments in John. He's really just quoting Deuteronomy, all right? Because that's what it's saying right there, is saying, if you love me, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, here's the important point. Then you shall, what's that word there? Live. Then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you're entering to take possession of it. Why do we keep God's law? Not because we're trying to earn his favor. We've got that by sheer grace and the gospel of Jesus Christ. We obey because we love God and because we love what God loves, which is our lives. Okay, and when we obey the commandments, listen to me, it equals life. It equals life. And then it says in verse 19, I call heaven and earth to witness before you. This is what God is saying when he's giving his commandments. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Choose life that you and your offspring may live. You see, the devil wants us to disregard the word of God so that he can destroy you, not just spiritually, but he wants to destroy you physically, emotionally, mentally, financially. The devil is out to destroy your life. And the thing is when the devil hurts you physically, do we feel it in our spirit? You better believe it. If he hurts you spiritually, can it affect you physically? If he affects you spiritually, can it affect you emotionally? Absolutely. He wants to destroy Jesus before you can give birth to Christ. Revelation 12:6 says, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God in which she was to be nourished for how long? 1260 days, which in prophecy, we use the one. For every day, it is a year in literal time. So this is prophetic time, and we get that from the Bible. We don't make that up. We get that from the Bible. This one day equals 1 year. So 1,260 days is actually 1,260 years. The 1260 days in Revelation represents 1260 years. So this time period went from 538 AD to 1798 AD. And during this time, there's an allusion here to what prophet? What prophet went to the wilderness where there was a place prepared for God to take care of him? Elijah. Remember, all of Israel was taken over with idolatry because Ahab and Jezebel. Remember, these are figures that are in Revelation. We see Jezebel again. This time it's not the literal Jezebel who is married to Ahab, but it is representing spiritual adultery. And so we're seeing these allusions. And so while this place was covered in a drought, God still prepared a place for his prophet. And here, during these 1260 years, it was known as a time from 538 AD to 1798 AD as the Dark Ages. And let me tell you, that was a very dark time for Christianity. It was the darkest time. But yet God still kept his people intact. And he still, always down through the ages, no matter how rough the Christian church got, God had his people that were keeping and obeying him and loving him and trusting in him. Okay? So here, during the Dark Ages, the Bible was kept from the common person. It made it easy for false teachings to creep into the church. Because only the priest could read it, and only the priest could read it in Latin. You wouldn't read the Bible in anything else. You had to do it in Latin. And most people didn't speak Latin. Only the priests were allowed to speak Latin and know Latin. And so the Bible was completely irrelevant to people. They didn't know it. And so it was very easy that false teachings and things were adopted and crept into the church. And this is the thing. If it wasn't for God's protection and those that remained committed to the word of God, the devil would have devoured the Christian church before the Christian church could have delivered Christ to the world. During the Dark Ages, Christianity was almost completely destroyed. It says in 1 Peter, "Be sober-minded, be watchful, because your adversary, the devil, prowls around in a roaring lion seeking someone to what? Devour." One of the number one ways the devil attacked his church in the Dark Ages was through this idea that it doesn't matter what we eat or drink or how we live, because the body is wicked and the soul is pure. And so you didn't have to be bogged down with any of the bodily, physical things of life. It was only spiritual that mattered. Okay, so spiritual life was detached from physical life. But when you study the Bible, you realize that a soul without a body is dead. You can't separate the soul from a body. Okay? So a living soul is physical matter plus the breath of God. And that creates, according to Scripture, a living soul. All right? So there is no immortality of the soul. The Bible says only God is immortal. And so this idea of immortality of the soul and this idea that spiritual is the only thing that matters, that physical doesn't matter, was Hellenistic thinking. It was Greek philosophy. It was Plato. It wasn't Bible. It wasn't Jesus. Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life and have it what? Abundantly." Jesus wants you to have a good life. It's not just the spiritual that matters. It's the spiritual, physical, mental, emotional, whole person. God wants you to experience wholeness. Our physical life does matter to God because the way you live affects the way we can deliver Christ to the world. Did you know that? Listen to me, friends. If you're always sick because of a poor lifestyle, your worship is affected, amen? Man, when you are on so much blood pressure medicine that you can't stay awake during the sermon, your worship is affected, amen? Man, when you can barely get up and move and be with your kids because of your health, let me tell you, your ability to deliver Christ to your kids and your grandkids, that is affected. When you've got habits and addictions that always occupy space in your brain, it messes with your ability to worship. Come on, man. I struggled with, because instead of thinking about God in here, you're always in a hurry to leave to do what you're addicted to out there. So it's constantly on your mind. I know this. I know what it's like to be addicted to smoking and drinking druggy for years. You see, the devil wanted to destroy me before I could deliver Christ to the world. But hallelujah, Jesus gave me victory. Amen. And that's the God that we serve. We serve of a God of miracles. That's the beautiful reality. So the devil doesn't care if he gives you bad theology or if he kills you through addiction or through a bad habit. He doesn't care if he kills you with the drug overdose or the Oreo cookie overdose. Come on now. He doesn't care how he kills you. He just wants to kill you. He wants to, man, I believe God wants to give some people victory here tonight. This is why we need to talk about what we eat, drink, and the way we live, why it does matter. Because you see, it's not because God loves me more for doing it, but it's because God loves me that I want to do that for myself. You know, what I eat doesn't make God love me anymore, but it really, what it does is it empowers you to love yourself more. To take care of the temple that God blessed you with. To value yourself. God wants you to value yourself like he values you. The devil doesn't care how he keeps us from delivering Christ just as long as we don't deliver Christ. And so what we need to understand is during this dark age period, the church was almost decimated and destroyed because of Platonic ideals such as immortality of the soul, such as Gnosticism. People stopped taking care of their health. Basically, Gnosticism taught, it was one of the earliest false teachings that crept into the church, and it's still there. And what Gnosticism taught was that people should shun the material world and embrace the spiritual world, which led to a diminished interest in health and hygiene. You see, if taking care of the body didn't matter, then why take care of it? If taking care of the earth doesn't matter, then why take care of it? But friends, this outlook on life and on religion let the devil in our back door. And he started destroying lives on a huge level. For centuries, ignorance and uncertainty and premature death was the lot of people in Christian society. Entire epidemics swept through the Christian community. By the middle of the 14th century, conditions, because of poor hygiene and poor health, conditions were ripe for a grief on a grander scale in the Black Death. And the thing about the plague, the Black Death, it wasn't caused by bad diet and hygiene, but it did set us up to make the conditions ripe for the Black Death. All right? So check this out. According to the historians, the Middle Ages came to a natural end by exhaustion, having become an intolerable, despotic repression of man's physical nature in favor of the spiritual one. That's what happened during the Dark Ages. But what's interesting is when you study the Jewish people during the same time in Europe, on average, they were much healthier and they lived much longer. Why? Because they followed the Bible. Clear and simple. They followed the Bible. And so that kept them safe. Sadly, most Christians didn't have access to the Bible. They didn't know what the Bible says. They just listened to the priest. And the priest, sadly, when you study the Dark Ages, when Martin Luther marches down, he goes on a pilgrimage. When he's still in the Roman church, he makes a pilgrimage from Germany all the way down to Rome, Italy, where the Vatican is. And he's blown away by the condition of the church. There are priests there who don't even believe in God, but they still administer the mass. There's all kinds of false teachings and false representations. People were being completely led astray. He saw a priest leave a brothel, and he wasn't witnessing at the brothel. He saw a priest leave a brothel and head over to the church to implement mass. And when confronted about it, the priest didn't even really believe in God. That was the state of the church for most people. And so they were torn from the Bible. And because of that, God, the enemy almost destroyed the church, the woman, before the woman could give birth to Christ in the world. Notice history. The Jews, with their greater understanding of elementary hygiene, which they got from the Bible, preferred to draw their drinking water from open streams, even though these might often be farther from their homes. Check this out. Such a habit, barely noticed in normal times, would seem intensely suspicious in the event of the plague. Why should the Jews shun the wells unless they knew them to be poisoned? And how could they have known, had such knowledge, unless they had done the poisoning themselves? And you study it, and the Jewish people were terribly persecuted and accused of poisoning the wells because they wouldn't drink from the wells. But they didn't drink from the wells, and they drank from running water because, again, of what the Bible says. Let me tell you, friends, God wasn't messing around when he says, I lay before you life and death. Choose life. Choose life. Friends, that's how crazy people can get in times of crisis. And listen to me tonight. Don't be surprised if when this crisis gets bad again, and Revelation tells us it's going to get bad again, don't be surprised when God's people don't again become the object of suspicion and persecution. It's going to happen. It's not a matter of if it happens. It's when it's going to happen. You see, this is what the devil did when he messed with our theology. This is what really drives me crazy when I hear Christians say that, oh, the clean and unclean stuff, that was for the Jews. We can just eat whatever we want. You know, and the reason why that gets under my skin is because it is not true. What you're saying with that statement is that the God who made you and died for you and is coming back to get you doesn't care about your health? I don't believe so. Also, God distinguished between clean and unclean before a Jew ever existed. So it wasn't just for the Jewish people. It was for all people. Genesis 6:19. Of every living thing, of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Okay, that's of the unclean animals. Notice the clean animals. Take with you seven pairs of clean animals, the male and the mate, and the pair of the animals that are not clean, the male and his mate. Man, God's people were not eating. And there's a lot of good Christians. Don't get me wrong, a lot of good Christians who, you know, eat all kinds of unclean stuff. And let me tell you, I know a lot of godly people who love the Lord with all their heart. And for whatever reason, God hasn't convicted them on this issue, but that's between them and the Lord, amen? And I understand that. But the verses people use to say we can eat whatever we want are taken out of context, and they're just not there. What is there any difference between a Jew's body and anybody else's body? It's exactly the same. You know, had Noah and his family, again, this is before a Jew ever existed, years before a Jew came around, Noah and his family understood and knew, and God had the distinction between clean and unclean. Had Noah and his family had a good old-fashioned barbecue, then we wouldn't have pigs with us today because they only had a male and a female. And you need a male and a female to make more pigs. And so here we see the reality. You know what? Interestingly, even the cleansing rules he gave to his people in the world were not just arbitrary rules, but they were for their protection. You know, and it's really amazing when you go through and study all the different cleansing laws, you know, for a time. Now, we don't need all of those anymore, some of those, but some of them are still basic principles that we can still apply to our lives. And they were important. If plague broke out in the camp, all of Israel would have been decimated in days. And so God had these cleansing rules. If you came in contact with a dead body, you had to stay outside the camp and be quarantined. You know, this is like the coronavirus of their time. They didn't want a coronavirus to break into the camp because if it did, when you're in close quarters like that, it would have wiped everybody out like that. And so God knew this. God understood this. Everything, you know, from circumcision to other things, it served a basic hygiene need. Yes, God used that as kind of a way to say, these are my people for a time. And there eventually came a time where the church says, look, we don't need to make Gentiles be circumcised anymore. Yes, but the act of circumcision there during those times served a hygienic purpose. So God doesn't just have them do this because he wants them to do some arbitrary thing. He's looking out for his people's health and their happiness. All right? This, just look at the Dark Ages, and the average life expectancy for a male was 42 years old. I'm dying this year. If we lived in the Dark Ages, probably. You know, that was the life expectancy, and it was because we disregarded health, and it was because, sadly, of what the church was teaching people, that the health and the physical doesn't matter. Abandon it. The only thing that matters is the spiritual life. Friends, we are physical, spiritual, emotional, mental beings. The dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth so that when she bore her child, he might devour it. You see, the devil's tactic is simple. If he can kill you, you won't deliver Christ to the world. You might have the right theology, but if you're dead or too sick to share it, who cares? If the devil devours you with disease, stress, illness, debt, he devours the potency of life, the potency of your life and your ability to share Christ. Man, he gets us so in debt that we've got to work two jobs just to make ends meet, only for more stuff, which you don't need any more stuff. And he gets us working two jobs, covered up, smothered up with stress. And this is the thing, that stress is killing you. You know, for the first time, some of you came to our Fighting Back series at the school, which was a great presentation on addiction and some of the woes of vaping and other addictions. And for the first time in years, the life expectancy for people in our country is going down. It's getting worse, even with all of the modern medicine. And it's because of this high stress, the just sitting and not getting up and being active, among other things. Friends, we live in a day and age where you eat food that is fast and easy rather than healthy and good. And let me tell you, that food is killing us. People often find themselves smoking and drinking. Why? To deal with the pain of a fast-paced lifestyle that we live in. And those drugs and alcohol are killing us. Listen, companies don't produce food that makes you healthy. They produce food that makes you want to eat more food, which makes them wealthy. All right? Food companies do not make food that makes me healthy. They make food that makes them wealthy. That's a good kind of thing to remember as you're going through there. Don't ever underestimate the enemy's creativity when it comes to attacking your life. The devil wants to kill you before you can deliver Christ to the world. Friends, we're in a battle for our lives, literally. Romans 7:23, we all struggle with this, man. We all have different things that we struggle with, weaknesses. But hallelujah, where I am weak, Jesus is strong. I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my what? My members, my physical body. Just because food tastes good doesn't mean it is good. God asked you to eat certain things for a certain reason. He's always wanted his church to live healthier, longer, so that Jesus might grow in us and that we could deliver Christ to the world. The diet was for the Jews for a period of time because they were the church, but it's for us too because we're the church now. In fact, God prescribed his diet to the very first church members centuries before there ever was a Jew, Adam and Eve. The very first diet God gave us right here. And God said, behold, I've given you every plant yielding seed that is of the face of the earth and every tree with seed in its fruit. And then KJV calls it meat. You know, that this is your meat, that basically the vegetables and the fruit and the legumes and the beans and all this stuff, that was God's original diet. That was God's original diet. And friends, modern day science is finally catching up with us that a plant-based diet is the best diet. Notice, 60% of chronic disease deaths would be prevented if we just ate right. That's insane. 60% of chronic illnesses, 60% of Christians who are dying early because they are eating, they bought into flawed theology that says it doesn't matter, eat whatever you want, who cares? That's killing them so that they can't deliver Christ to the world. Friends, this is serious. Check this out. We now have much stronger evidence that replacing red meat with plant sources of protein, such as nuts or legumes, improves blood cholesterol fractions and is associated with lower risks of heart disease, stroke, and diabetes. Man, this is serious. And let me tell you, have you had that Impossible Burger yet? That's a pretty good burger, you know? And man, they're getting better and better. When the veggie burger first came out, it tastes nothing like a real burger. But they're getting better, guys. You know, I'm telling you, and maybe you're not quite to the Impossible Burger left. Go with the turkey burger. Start to change in your life. Let me tell you, little steps make a whole lot of progress over time. Cut out the sodas and you're gonna add some time to your life. Cut out the sugars, so much of the sugars, it's gonna add some years to your life. Man, I'm talking about letting God grow to full term in your life so you can deliver Christ. This isn't new science, this is the original science. It's what God said in the beginning, the Daniel fast and all these little fasts that have come out. These are people getting rich on what the Bible's always told us to do. It's not new science. Fruits, vegetables, nuts, beans can reduce a person's risk for heart disease, such as cancer, heart disease, and type 2 diabetes. They'll control body mass index and waist size and boost brain health. And if you're like me, I can use all the brain health I can get. Come on now. Vegetarian Adventist men, check this out, live to an average of 83 and a half years and women 85 and a half years. Check this out. That's 9.5 more years than the average man and 6 more years for the average woman, according to Huffington Post. That's 10 to 6 more years of delivering Christ to the world. Now do you know why the devil stopped chasing the general woman and started heading after those who follow the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus? Because he wants to kill you. He knows the effect that God can use you and to the way God can use your life for God's glory. The enemy knows that and he wants to take you out. That's 10 to 6 more years of delivering Christ to the world, delivering Christ to your children, delivering Christ to your grandchildren, delivering Christ to your great-grandchildren. Man, my wife's grandmother is like, I think she's 96 years old. And let me tell you, she is still delivering Christ to the world. I want to live 96 years, amen? Probably not going to happen, but I want to do everything I can to live the longest life that I can live so that I can share more of Jesus with my family and the people I love, my neighbors, my coworkers. Friends, the Sabbath wasn't just for the Jews. It was made for all humanity. Why? Because we were not made to work 24/7. The Sabbath is there for a reason. And let me tell you, until you trust God enough to stop working on the Sabbath and surrendering that day to Him, you will never experience the liberation and the rest and the freedom that Sabbath can give you. Let me tell you, the rest is more necessary than the money. You know, the money, the job, that stuff will kill you faster than anything. Who cares if you make an extra few thousand dollars a year if you don't live a few more years to enjoy it? The Sabbath is for everybody. It wasn't just for the Jewish people. The heavens and the earth were finished and the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day, made it holy because on it, God had rested from all of his work that he had done in creation. Friends, God knew that we could not work 24/7. But the good news of the Sabbath is we can rest because, hallelujah, we serve a God who never rests. You know, that's the beauty of the Sabbath, is it's a reminder once a week that I do not, the world does not revolve around me. And you know what? Just because I don't show up at work, the world will keep moving. God is in control. Friends, Jesus kept the Sabbath. The disciples kept the Sabbath. For the first century, Christianity kept the Sabbath. In the book, Church History, in plain language, check this out. It says, by the second century, most Christians neither knew nor practiced Jewish dietary. Here's the Dark Ages. Practiced Jewish dietary laws. They stopped keeping those. And then in most areas, the Sabbath, seventh day observance, had given way to worshiping on the first day of the week. And what happened is, as Sabbath sacredness went out, then also what, you know, taking that rest and really embracing that Sabbath also went away from the church. Friends, the enemy is out to destroy us. The devil wants to disregard, wants you to disregard your health and your wholeness in order to devour the lives of Christ in you. Notice, when the dragon saw that he had been thrown down to the earth, he pursued the woman that had given birth to the male child. The enemy is after you. He's after this woman. But then by the time you get to verse 17, again, that devil turns his focus from the woman to her children. And notice, Revelation 12, 17, it says, he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments and faith of Jesus Christ. So he's not focused on the woman anymore. You know why? It's because he already had most of the woman. You see, you could hardly recognize Christianity anymore. The church wasn't doing God's will, it was doing the devil's will. The majority of the church in the Dark Ages wasn't doing what God wanted, they were doing what the dragon wanted. And then Revelation 17 through 9, we run into another woman, or so we often thought that this is a different woman. But notice, it says in Revelation 19:2, this great prostitute who corrupted the earth with her immorality. Her name is Babylon. All right, Babylon is not talking about that literal place, but this is a spiritual Babylon. She has corrupted our spiritual thinking, what we believed in Scripture. She's corrupted it. And notice it says that this woman is arrayed in purple and scarlet. Did you know that those are the colors of the priest? She's wearing the priestly vestments. She is leading God's people astray in the name of God. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornications. And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. Check it out. That is just mind-blowing. And then in Revelation 17:6, when John sees this woman, it says that I marveled with great amazement. And that always grabbed my attention because of all the things that John sees. I mean, he sees locusts with human faces. I think I would be amazed at that. Not this woman, but John's amazed at this woman. He sees crazy beasts coming up out of the sea and the ground. He sees four creatures around the throne and they're covered in eyes. Of all the things John sees, this prostitute is what surprises him. The actual Greek means he's shocked. When John sees this woman, he's shocked. And what is so shocking about the prostitute in Revelation 17 is that it is the woman from Revelation 12. You see, the pure church in Revelation 12 has become a prostitute by the time we reach Revelation 17. And John is shocked because he can't believe. You see, he sees some preachers he knew in there. He sees some elders and deacons, some churchgoers and some Bible toters and some holy rollers he sees in there. And that's why the devil no longer focuses his attack on the woman, because the woman is already killing herself. And so he goes after the people who believe in doing what this book says. The devil hates all Christianity, but he especially focuses his hatred on people who really believe what this book says. The true and the fullest of gospel. Friends, now that you are saved by grace through faith, let God use your life to shine bigger and brighter. Your life cannot shine if you eat, smoke, drink, or drug, or don't exercise, or work yourself into an early grave. You cannot shine. Man, If Jesus didn't care about health, when Jesus came to the world, he came as the great what? Physician. So don't tell me God doesn't care about the way we live. And he went throughout Galilee teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing how many diseases? Every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout Syria, and they brought all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases, pains, oppressed by demons, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them all. Before Jesus ever preached a sermon, he healed the sick. So if our health didn't matter to Jesus, then why is he always healing people? If the spiritual, not the physical, is all God cares about, why heal us? You know, why? Why heal all these people? If it's just like, no, it's better that you die soon so you can go to... You see, the devil got into our theology and he messed up our lives. Because he wants to devour us before we can deliver Christ. Friends, the reality is the devil lied to us and we believed him and we've been paying for it ever since. But the good news is God wants to give you victory tonight. He wants you to choose life. And if you leave here and you make just a baby steps towards a better, healthier life, you're going to live longer and you're going to deliver more of Christ to the world. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. Listen to me. We are not saved because we eat this or don't eat that. I want to be clear about that today. We are saved by the sheer grace and gift of God. But because you have been saved and you've been purchased by the blood of Jesus, take care of what Jesus died for. Man, on Calvary, Christ allowed his body to be killed so that you could come alive today. Think about that. Jesus allowed his health to be compromised in order to give us healthy living. Man, Isaiah 53:5 says, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, hallelujah, we are what? Man, he loved our life enough to die for it. So will you love him enough to start taking care of what he died for? We are the church, man. We are called to give good news to a world that's filled with bad news. When everybody else is getting sick, God wants us to be healthy and strong so that people, the sick, will come to us and say, what are you doing? I want something that you have. Just as we read, he's going to set you up high, and fame is going to spread that these people are living longer, they're living happier and joyous and free. We've been called to deliver Christ to the world. So the enemy's tactic has always been the same. If he can kill you, you won't deliver Christ to the world. Jesus came so that you might have life and that you may have it more abundantly. And one day soon, friends, when Christ finally grows to full term in the church, hallelujah, I believe Bowman Hills is pregnant right now, amen? I believe this church is pregnant. It's ready to give birth to more churches and to more missions and to reach this community. I believe this church is pregnant. And when Christ finally grows to full term in the church, and we're not too sick to deliver him, or too tired to deliver him, or too stressed to deliver him, or too busy to deliver him, or too depressed to deliver him, by the power of the Holy Ghost, we will deliver him. And the Bible says that when this world receives the gospel, then the end will come. And when the end comes, hallelujah, Jesus comes. I long for that day. Let us pray. Most gracious God, we thank you and praise you for the awesome God that you are. Lord, I pray for each person here. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that we will know and understand that there's nothing we can do or not do that can ever make you love us any more than you love us right now. That we don't change our diet just to make you, we don't do that to make you love us more. We do that to love ourselves more, to treasure what you treasure. To have more time to deliver more of you to the world. Lord, I pray for anybody who's struggling physically tonight. I pray for the family members who are struggling with addictions tonight. And maybe someone's watching online tonight and they're struggling, they're hurting, they're physically, spiritually, emotionally hurting today. I pray that the Holy Spirit would whisper in each of our hearts that the goal God has for us is total health and total wholeness for the whole person. That God came to get, that Jesus came to give us life and to give us more abundantly. And in those moments where we don't seem to get what we pray for, we're reminded that your grace is sufficient. For you are made strong in our weakness. Lord, I pray you be with each one of us as we go our separate ways. Lord, help us to make little changes in our lives, maybe big changes in our lives, to add years to our lives so that we can finish this work, so that we will have the energy, the clear mind, and the capacity to do the work you've called the church to do. To be the woman, the pregnant woman who is glowing the light of the gospel to all of the world. We thank you, we praise you, in Jesus' name, amen.